republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first thing we'll have, this is a public meeting, and we'll have a public comment period. If you would like to address any items that are in the agenda and might have to leave early, this would be the time to address them. Is there anyone that would like to address something in the agenda at this time? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we will move on. I will now ask for approval of the minutes from the meeting of May 29th. Do I have a approval?
Approved.
Yes.
Approved.
And I made
approved.
The changes that were asked for.
Approved.
Okay. Approved. Approval of the agenda for today. Anyone?
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Right.
Approved. Next, we receive a report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the current well levels, the status of the Blue Nile water system, and other related concerns.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Natalia Lindoto, 1001 South Valley Boulevard. I just have a short update for you guys. The static water levels collected from both the north and the south well indicate that there was a water level increase of 1.5 feet as compared to the previous month. And you guys have with you the water device for the last 3 months and the last 5 years. And other than that, the system is in good shape, is stable, and all wells are currently operational.
Thank you very much. Now we receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns for discussion only.
Hello, everybody. Sergeant Dean with Metro. It's a pretty slow month. Nothing really to report. I'm going on vacation a couple days. I have to apologize I'm on vacation. Does anyone have any specific questions that they wanted to ask of me?
Yeah, last time you were here, you were going to go meet with the balloon guys, or not sure how that was left.
Yeah, so I did have a meeting with some representatives from BLM, also the county, Department of Aviation, along with several of the commercial balloon operators in town. And essentially, in a nutshell, there are several commercial hot air balloon operators who would generally operate out of the desert areas on the south side of State Route 160. Right now they're kind of moving their operations towards Pahrump, but they're looking for an area, and they're going through the permitting process with the BLM to try to find some area. I did go to that meeting, and I provided my input that, quite frankly, most people don't want the balloons over there because they crash land people's yards, and there's a lot of other that creates a noise issue. So that input was provided. Primarily looking like they're going to try to get themselves permitted to use the Gene Dry Lake bed because it will have minimal impact on residences and stuff like that. That process is still going on. There's several different factors the BLM has to go through. It will take several months. But right now, most of the commercial operators are trying to find other places they can do where there will be no impact and they won't be in violation. Because they're going through the permitting process, if they can pop using BLM land, they can have an effect on the permits. Non-commercial balloon use is permitted on public land. So if it's just people who use their balloons for recreation and not for commercial purposes, that is allowed over there. So they're working on trying to find a solution, and we're hopefully looking to push the issue out towards the Gene area, so it won't be a problem for the folks who live up to that. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? I'll be around after the meeting if anyone thinks of something. So. I appreciate it.
Have a good vacation.
Thank you very much. Next, we receive an update on the Red Rock Bike Trail from the Red Rock Trail Partnership, and I can probably fill in there. We did, as many of you may or may not know, received Save Red Rock, when I say we, facilitated an $11 million FLAP grant to build a bike trail from Summerlin to the visitor center, which will be off parallel to the road. The DOT added quite a few other features, like pull-out lanes and some other things, which pushed the price up quite a bit, about $4 million. And so there is a bit of a funding gap, and so we're working on trying to figure out ways to bridge that funding gap. And with that, we're talking to the Tahoe Trail, which was a similar type of project, and they did a really good job of raising funds. So that's the update on the bike trail. Next, we receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services regarding contents of CAC minutes, tree trimming on Cottonwood and Arroyo, information about dogfighting airplanes, and any other updates.
Okay, so on the minutes, they are still a work in progress. I've been reviewing how the minutes are done for the BCC and the PC, they're a little different. My boss has been at the legislature and just got back, and then once he got back, the DA has been on vacation. So I'm going to have to get a ruling on how we're going to approach the minutes. Because as you guys know, it gets complicated. The more information you put, the more there is to disagree about. Is that what I said? That's not the word I used. And we've had that here. So finding the happy medium is important. So I'm working on that.
Thank you, Megan.
The dogfighting airplanes, I had not heard about that until last month. I did reach out to my contact at the FAA, not at the FAA, at the airport. He made sure to say he is not the FAA, but he works for McCarran.
Mm-hmm.
So the group that does those is called Sky Combat Ace, and they do those all over town. If you guys have concerns about what's going on, particularly about the safety of what's going on, you should call the FISDO, FSDO. It's called the Flight Standards District Offices, and we'll put the number in the minutes.
Okay.
The number, I'll read it here real quick, but like I said it'll be in the minutes, 702-617-8500. And it's important to ask for an investigation due to safety concerns, if that's something you want to pursue. So I did ask a few more questions about height and stuff, and I said, are they allowed to fly that low over a national recreation area? And
right.
Said, it doesn't matter if it's a national recreation area. It's the air, they're allowed to do it. And like National Park Service, he said, has tried to limit flights like that over their areas. They have a policy that makes it minimum 2,000 feet over the ground, but they have no way to enforce that. So they have a policy, but no rules that can enforce it. So unfortunately, just the fact that this is an NRA doesn't help. I did ask him a little bit about helicopters too, because I know that's been a problem, and I was misinformed about this too. Helicopters, there is no minimum altitude for helicopters, which stinks. I did not know that. But if it is a tour or a paying fare, it's a 300-foot minimum. So if it's just someone driving or flying their own helicopter, there's no minimum. If it's a tour, it's 300 feet. So
it sounds like there is not currently any legislation that supports limiting them for noise or
no, unfortunately. But if the noise is causing things to be unsafe or if there are safety concerns, you can call. And again, just like with anything, the more people that call and it's really a problem that they call and share it, it's going to get more attention if more people call.
So, I mean, the first safety concern that would come to mind would be that you'd be spooking people's horses.
Could be, or it could be that the noise bothers you. You know, if you have hearing problems.
Not really a safety issue, but I get what you're saying.
I know.
Going with
I mean, but just not liking it, is it going to rise to their level of an emergency?
Yeah, I agree. No, I get that, yeah.
So, I was given some direction on how to help with.
Mm-hmm.
To channel your concerns.
Evan Slauson, 2035 Marina Road. The issue of the helicopter operations in the basin have been going on for a couple few years, and Randy Marsh, who used to live in the basin, had done quite a bit of complaining because of where his house is on top of a hill, and they were doing a turn around the mountain and facing the rotors right at his house and stuff. And he went through a bunch of stuff which basically, it's more or less what you're saying, that you really can't do much about it. And there's operation laws related to, and you're saying that they don't apply to helicopters at all, and that may be correct. I'm a fixed wing pilot, so I do know those rules. And that there are spacing requirements over what's called the congested area, but there aren't really any definitions of what a congested area is. Like, nobody would argue, let's say, that in town is a congested area, but is the basin a congested area? Maybe not. Even Blue Diamond might be argued successfully to not be a congested area. So anyway, for what it's worth, I'm just supporting mostly what you're saying, because there, you can complain all you want. What they did with the Grand Canyon actually has its own chart that's actually been unchanged for about, I don't know, 20 years now or so. And there were a couple of earlier iterations, but there's a whole lot of rules about flying there, but that took like almost an act of Congress to get that happening. And I can still go take a plane and go fly over the Grand Canyon, but my minimum altitudes are quite high, much higher, in fact, than the helicopter tour operators by several thousand feet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so anyway, like I think we're up against acts of God and things like mm-hmm. that with, if we're really trying to do it. And just because I'm a pilot doesn't mean I think that I'd like to have a lot of aviation noise in the area, but I just think it's mostly going to be very difficult to challenge, just for the record. Yeah.
You know. Have you guys had these dog fights over in Calico?
This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's the first I'd heard of it either.
Look on their website.
Yeah, it's a simulated, they have a website, you can check it out. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if that's something I would want to do, but it shows, so there's simulated dog fights.
I know of the outfit. I've heard of them.
So
they're over my place quite a bit.
Really?
And they're going across the mountain over Mountain Springs.
Looks like they fly all over the place from their website.
They don't bother anything.
Okay. Well, once they're past Mountain Springs, they're out in that big open desert between.
They're high enough. They're high enough. You can't. You can hear. The rev up a little bit once in a while.
So basically, stuff going on in the air, there's a lot of leeway up there.
Kathy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, Kathy Kleinsmith, 9 Montana. At one of the meetings, there was a question of whether we had to have like an identifying number on a plane or a helicopter.
That's right, we did have that.
Right, and you can see the tail number, mm-hmm. And you're able to look it up, which is really interesting, actually. So they all have a tail number to be registered, I think unless it's a military helicopter, but they all have a tail number, and you can go and Google it and find that tail number. And if they were to do something wrong, really injurious to you, you could report that tail number, but most likely, if they're just flying low, they're not going to do anything because they're allowed to.
And depending on the rules that the numbers are painted under, they can either be 4 inches high or a foot high.
Yeah.
So, I like 4 inches.
Well, and unfortunately, if you're on a bucking horse, you're not
Trust me. So, I would love to come out and tell you that we have rules and we can do stuff about it, but it's pretty wide open up there. So. Okay, and then the other thing was the trees, and I hadn't called them in. I'm so sorry. Did you?
I forgot.
Right, we both did. So
I forgot.
I will get those called in, and we'll get those taken care of in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And there's another gentleman with you.
White Hill Hall, 1825 Calico Drive. Going with what Evan said and with Gary Marsh, I got involved with that.
Mm.
And the thing is, the flight patterns over Calico Basin did change because enough people complained. They were flying below ridge line, so the sound echoing back to the houses and stuff was very strong. And there were enough complaints that now they fly about 1,000 feet or so. So they're above the ridge line, it's not nearly as noisy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So don't give up.
And generally, they don't come through anymore.
I was thinking about it the other day, saying I haven't seen them much.
Yeah, from maybe 4 or 5 a day to almost zero.
So what was the secret of the success? Who did you complain to, and what was the complaint?
FAA.
Well, the FISDO.
FISDO is a part of the FAA.
So that wasn't a safety concern. You just said that it was too noisy, and that was enough?
And when they were going up Gary Marsh's house, they were probably down around 100 feet.
Yeah, over his house because he was up on a hill. But the other thing is what I'm thinking, not that I have any specific knowledge, but I have a feeling that there was enough noise brought directly to the operator that maybe they thought the better part of valor was, regardless of the rules, why don't, if I can make these people happy by climbing 1,000 feet, my passengers won't know anything one way or the other, and I might as well not piss everybody off.
Yeah, basically. That's a good point. It's always that.
The other issue we had at one point was when search and rescue was out, field search and rescues. Sometimes the tour helicopters were getting in the flight paths for search and rescue.
That's a really good one too.
Rescue that almost hit another helicopter. And so I don't know if
that is an actual safety concern.
Yeah, I don't know if the traffic control folks solved that or not. I haven't heard any complaints for about 3 years.
There's no direct air traffic control over the Calico Basin for at least a few thousand feet, and the rule is they just call it see and avoid. You're supposed to see and avoid whatever's out there. But, you know, I mean,
I know we're going on a little bit too much here.
No, not really.
But if there's search and rescue going on, do they do a temporary closure?
Oh, that is possible for them to do, but I've never seen one. Yeah. No, they don't do it.
So Brad Sons, 4701 North Fork Pines. In terms of what Dwight's talking about, I was met with the flight district office in terms of all the issues at Calico Basin. And if you can file complaints online, you can also file complaints online through FFA. But with the issue with Calico Basin, they would bring investigators out and sit in Calico Basin as well as in Red Rock. The group used to go just through Gateway. They come out Gateway Canyon right over Calico Basin. So they brought investigators out and then they would check the radars. So they have options of going to the radar and check what flights are in those patterns, and then they would. We met with all the tour companies probably about a year and a half ago. We made them raise their aviation requirements for a flight. In terms of flight restrictions for search and rescue, we tried doing that. The problem is before, when search and rescue is in airborne, those guys are already out. They're already out flying. There's no way for air traffic control to contact the pilots that are out there flying around. To advise them, hey, we're on a rescue. Grand Canyon, they have it, but it's not enforceable because we don't regulate airspace. So it's really, like Nate said, it's a very touchy issue just because there's not really a whole lot to do. But if you complain enough, they will send investigators out to sit in the areas that are complained. The dogfighting happens a lot off 160, and FAA is looking at those people as well. But there's not much you can do unless you have a phone number and stuff like that. So you can go online as well, and they'll bring people out to sit in areas.
Great, hey
Brad, when you said you made them fly higher,
made them. So we went, myself and two of the flight standard district investigators, we met with all the pilots independently and advised them all the complaints and all the issues. We advised them to fly higher, and they were pretty open to it.
So it was a voluntary compliance.
Yeah, because there's investigators that have criminal, that have civil penalties that they can inflict on them, but it's a long shot in terms of all that stuff. So it's basically monetary, because they can suspend their licenses and stuff like that.
I wouldn't know what rules they were violating technically. But
most overall, it's been pretty much success, and there's not a whole lot of issues.
Cool.
The other thing is, these are commercial entities, and we have a commercial group down in Sandy Valley that does tours where you shoot a machine gun from a helicopter. And one of the things they offered was creating sound, and on certain days it would echo just right and you could hear it through the whole valley. And they responded to the concerns of the citizens and decided it wasn't worth the bad press, and they quit offering that option. So I wouldn't underestimate talking directly to the company too and saying, hey, this is interrupting our way of life. So there's options, and it sounds like there's more options than I thought. So
yeah, what a beautiful consensus of intelligence from the group. Thank you.
All right, and then we'll get the trees.
And then, right, Megan, I know I'm bringing up a thing, but didn't we, when we talked about the grading thing, and we knew that it was subjective, but we thought that there would be further, further discussion, because I think that it's not just a subjective, what's accessible and what's not.
I put that on you, that if you want to pursue it further, you'll need to talk to Nancy. You'll need to go down and talk to Nancy about it. It's not something we could decide here.
Right.
It would have to go through a plan amendment, not a plan amendment, code amendment process. Mm-hmm. So I think you, and I think Barbara has concerns too, need to take that and go down and sit down and talk to Nancy, the director of planning.
Just for people who weren't aware, so when they wrote the Red Rock overlay, One of the things that was written in the Red Rock overlay was that people weren't allowed to do excessive grading, and really the what was behind that is that we, you know, when you break the crust on like a 2.5 acre parcel and you just completely blade it, it's, you know, it's it, you, you've ruined the crust and you've caused a dust, you know, situation, etc., and an eye blight, eyesore, I would say too. So that's why that was put into the Red Rock overlay, but it hasn't been able to be enforced because this use of the word excessive is subjective, right? So I think there is certainly a common sense thing that goes with excessive, and it doesn't mean 2.5 acres of blading is not excessive. So what she's telling me is that I need to speak to Nancy, who is head of
Comprehensive plan.
Comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. And see if she might be able to put a little bit more in there so that we can actually enforce that. And that's what that's about. Okay, so.
Hold, I got a couple of questions.
Yes.
Can we make the well levels part of the meeting minutes to get posted?
Yes, have they not been? We need to get those, just
to get,
we'll send them as attachments.
Post minutes, but you mean on to email them too?
Yeah.
No, to get posted on our board. Well, especially, and this is no offense to Calico Basin, but I don't think Calico Basin and the Colca board are as interested as the three, or at least one location here in town.
We don't post them on the board, though. We only can post them. Megan addressed that in the email. Megan.
Right. The Water District can post them. Or you could tape them up there, but we're not going to physically post them.
Okay.
But they can go with the minutes on the website.
Okay. And then can I request that something be in the minutes? Just a congratulations to Cactus Joe. There was a newspaper article on Monday, and he's been there for 30 years, so just congratulations for being there for 30 years.
We'll put that in the public comments. We'll pretend you said that in the public comments.
Yeah. And then what happened to the park? I thought the park was supposed to be on the...
Last month I talked to all the people that were here and asked for input on usable space and what... And some of them said that they use all of it. So I was asking for input this month, and you're right, I should have put it on there. That's my fault, I should have put it on there. But do you guys have a Facebook page? You could put a question out.
Okay, I'll
do that. Because I don't think most of those people came back, and we just don't get the broader input, and I feel that needs the broader input, so maybe we can put it out that way.
What would be the appropriate, I don't want to have the wrong verbiage, what would be the appropriate verbiage on the Facebook
page? I'll send you something. Okay. I'll send you something, and maybe we can get the input that way, because I'm not going to make RPM spin their wheels coming up with plans if everybody says no. I use every corner of that grass.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And the other thing is, somebody was going to find out about the water usage for the Blue Diamond Water Co-op?
That is right, and that was... Trent and I were supposed to coordinate, and I will follow up on that.
And last
you're fired.
and last thing is, for our board members, if somebody knows that they're going to be absent from the meeting well ahead of time, mm-hmm. can they let people know?
Barbara told us last month.
Right.
And Trent told us last week. So... I don't know what would that change?
Well, if you know that the people aren't going to be there, and I had plans to do something else, I would do it knowing somebody was here. If I didn't do it knowing those two people were gone, if we wouldn't have a quorum.
Okay.
It's just good to know.
I understand your frustration, but...
Well, it's not a frustration, okay. but it's at our orientation, the attorney says five is better than three, and meanwhile, very seldom do we have five.
I understand, but if you were to look at the 19 town boards across Clark County,
right. It's
not unusual to have three or four people. It's really not unusual, and we have to, on my six town boards, we always have to check and make sure there's going to be a quorum, because... People are people.
Life happens,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And like last night, I found out at 7 o'clock I didn't have a quorum because one person I knew was gone, one person had an accident, and then one something came up at the last minute. And so at 7 yeah. o'clock for a 7:30 meeting, I found out we didn't have a quorum. So
right.
I don't know that it would change anything.
Okay.
And keep in mind that the applicants, this is the date is set for them.
Yeah,
so
second, right?
They have no obligation to meet on a different date if there's no quorum. So
right.
We can try that. We can always try that, but there's no obligation there. So Yes, I would love to know to make other plans too. But I know it's a reality of working with, I have 30 town board people, town board members across, and I have to check in with them because they're all individuals. And
yeah, I don't want to belabor it, but we could have a meeting the week before if Trent is down in the Grand Canyon now for this week. If he could have been here the week before, in fairness to these people, we have five people making a decision.
Okay.
Just a thought. That's it.
Any other?
Oh yeah, one last thing.
You said last.
I know. In our neighborhood, somebody's building a dirt track for what looks like motorcycles. What are the rules and regulations on that? Like, before
that
using it?
That is a huge gray area.
Okay.
Huge gray area because it's not really grading, right? It's not, like, if someone has horses and they put out obstacles for their horses, it's not, I mean, it's huge gray area.
But in
if there's
use,
a complaint.
For use, in use, like before use, that's where I'm going. If anybody wants to do that, that's fine. They did it down there,
right.
Albert's old place.
Right.
But before the use, do they have to spray it down, wet it down so there's not a lot of dust?
The dust question I have not had before.
Okay.
So let me find out.
Okay, good.
It's a huge gray area because we've had a couple of them in town and, usually it's if nobody complains, you don't want to do anything about it.
Are you complaining though?
No, but it's right across from somebody that I know.
Okay.
And
so I will find out so
which,
I can be ready
which
if
way
there
the wind's
is a
blowing.
Yeah, okay. I imagine there would be dust control concerns.
Right.
I will
the property
out.
Currently has a dust permit. So it is
but that dust permits are specific to what they're doing.
Right.
So I doubt
but
it's from
it is monitored because of the permit.
I see. Okay, well,
so
I'll
if
find out.
Yeah, and that permit runs up on the 7th.
Yeah,
70,
I'm going to want to be armed, so if there is a complaint, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll find out.
That's why I bring it up ahead of time, because
yes,
some people will be happy. My one neighbor, I pointed that out as he was riding his horse up there, I was walking. He goes, I go, look at that. He goes, motorcycle track. That is so cool. And I'm going,
see,
well,
you know what? If all the neighbors feel that way, then that's not a problem.
Yeah, so you never know.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on now to the planning and zoning. The issue we'll be talking about is on the Roth Silberman Christian Trust use permit to increase the size of an existing accessory apartment in conjunction with a proposed single-family residence on 2.5 acres in an RU zone within the Red Rock Design Overlay District, generally located on the east side of Moreno, approximately 630 feet north of Calico Basin. All right, do you have anyone that will be presenting?
Yeah.
Before you get started, though, the information I sent you, was that helpful to know ahead of time about accessory apartments?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so then I'm going to share that with the group so that they know what you're talking about. So, in around 2008, the Clark County Development Code, which is Title 30, was amended to allow things called accessory apartments. And they are allowed on certain properties, mostly larger lot properties. It was an effort to allow people to more fully utilize their property, provide housing options. It was during the downturn, so people were looking for affordable housing. It was a way to help with affordable housing and to allow people to more fully utilize their property. Accessory apartments are subject to lots of conditions to be able to do it. There's a whole list, right? There's a whole list of conditions you have to fulfill. They can be rented separately. They don't have to be, but that is an option if the person chooses to. And they have to sign what's called a deed restriction, which means that they understand they have to continue to follow those rules. And anyone that buys the property after them, that deed restriction goes along with the property and they have to fulfill those rules as well. So I know when they bring it up, it's gonna sound like this weird thing, but it's not unusual. And I will tell you, I'm not for or against what they're saying, but I will tell you in my experience, having been a planner when that started and doing this job for 7 years, I have not had any complaints come in from accessory apartments where they have diminished the neighborhood or anything. We get many more complaints from people who don't keep up their main property, their main house. So that's just my own little editorial there on that. So
I hope that helps us a little bit.
What kind of restrictions get placed?
Oh, there's, and I cannot get on the internet here, but it's things about the size, it's things about the appearance.
The same things you've been talking
about. Yeah, the appearance, where the driveway is.
Oh, I see.
They're all, most of the restrictions are things to keep it harmonious with the neighborhood.
And isn't there a restriction, like, doesn't an accessory apartment have to be, like, something no more than 40% of the size of the
right.
principal
because
residence?
Because we are in a rural area, they have more freedom for that. But they can ask for more, which I think you guys have to ask for a little bit more space, right?
What is the...
Oh, square foot. Okay.
What is the rule, the standing rule? That
I can't...
It's 1,500 square feet for the 2.5, yes, for the 2.5 acres. Or what I have read says 1,500 square feet.
But then there's, if it's in a CD5, there's some yeah, other little ways
yes,
that you can massage
some,
that. Yeah.
There's codes within the code.
Right, and one important part is that the owner of the property has to live in one or the other. They either have to live in the main house or in the accessory apartment. And the reason accessory apartment is, there's other things like a guest house, there are things like a casita, but the difference with an accessory apartment is it can have a kitchen, and that's a big difference, so. I just want to put that out there so that with everybody knows.
So the owner of the property, it doesn't have to be a primary residence, though. Like, let's say you lived in, God forbid, California, and you spent time down here, you know.
I don't know. It says they have to live on the property. I guess that would come down to a question of how much time they spend there. I don't know.
I think what I understand to mean is that you can't have both of them be rentals.
Yeah, I think that's right. What it would be. So yeah, only one can be rented. I guess that would be another way. So yeah, I think you're right.
And then the architecture has to be compatible, right?
Not in the rural areas.
Oh, not in the rural.
Right? I'm pretty sure it's not in the rural areas.
Well, but in the Red Rock.
Red
area,
Rock. Yeah.
You have to be.
So, okay, so
all buildings have to be.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack the presentation, but I just wanted to share that information.
You gave me good
so,
stuff.
Okay, it's all yours.
Okay, so Richard Luke, 1960 Marino Road, with Kristen Ralph Silverman, the owner, 1960 Marino Road. So we live in this existing residence, which is a wood frame residence with a corrugated iron roof. It was built 41 years ago, and it's very simple. It's just got, you know, a kitchen, a laundry, a dining room, and a living room, and then upstairs there's two bedrooms. And it's currently 1,936 square feet. The lower footprint is 1,436, and there's 500 square feet upstairs. And we want to build a new house, and that's going to be about 3,200 square feet. And so we want to be able to live in this house while we build the other house. And then once the other house is built, we're going to move into there. We're going to leave this just for our family and guests to and technically it's called an accessory apartment because we want to keep the kitchen so that if we have our guests stay over, they can be independent. So that's where we live. So all we're trying to do is just build a new house. I've got some photos of what that's going to look like. So. It's a single story. We're going to add a pool. Kristen has two boys, so they want to be able to swim. And it's 3,100 foot single story. I've kept all the same materials with the wood on the exterior with some stone and then the corrugated iron roof. And so I've got a few different shots of what it looks like. This is a shot from the rear. This is a shot where you see it up against the existing house, which is right here, and then it just spreads out across the property. So, you know, we take up less than about, we're on 2.5 acres, and the total square footage is like 5,000 square feet. So we're not taking up a lot of land. So we're just asking for a 436 foot increase above the 1,500 that's allowed because it would be crazy to demolish this house just for 400 feet. And we're going to be just using it for ourselves and for our family.
I heard you say 4,000 square feet, but your application says 3,582. Did I hear you wrong?
No, I said, well, I actually shrunk it to like 3150, but the plans I did submit were 3482, something like that. 3582.
And he just said 5,000 a little ago, so.
Well, 35 plus the 1900, so 5,400. Yeah. On 2.5 acres, you know, so on over 100,000 feet. So I'm taking up about 5% of the lot.
And I would say that Richard Luke is a very great architect. And I think it will add a lot of value to the neighborhood too. And I'm a realtor.
Is there anyone that has any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. I came because my property's diagonally adjacent to them, like their southwest corner touches my northeast corner. And, you know, I'm good with it. I just want to express my support for it. I did fax in the card with the check mark on support, too. So whatever it's worth, I think it's like the way their property works, nobody but them will notice anyway. So
Thank you for being involved and coming out. It's much appreciated. Anyone else?
I was looking at the county aerial.
Yeah.
Wish they'd improve that aerial. It looked like you had four structures or four something on there.
We have I've got a site plan.
I couldn't tell what was what on there. Yeah. Just out of curiosity.
I'll lay the site plan up just so you can see it. So. And you have that area too, yeah. Right? So that might make it simpler. So we have our house, which goes here. This is the house where we're going to build.
Okay.
Which is Kristen grabbed. And then we have a barn, an existing barn. So.
And that stays.
Yeah, that stays. Okay. And that's just that was built for horses and cattle a long time ago. And then there's an existing storage shed.
Okay, that's all that was. Okay.
So that's what all those buildings are.
Okay.
So we want to keep the storage shed and the barn. And then we're kind of just creating a little compound and we've oriented it so it looks up at Turtle Head.
And then my other question was, in looking at it, is we had Marino.
Yeah.
And then there was it this side or was it this side where it said it had a vacation?
That's here.
We're dedicating this side of the street.
For 30 feet right here.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So we're dedicating that. And then we come down here and there's a little turnaround right here.
Okay, that's the vacation. Yeah. Okay, for that. Okay, just wanted to.
That's the dedication. That's what they asked to vacate and they didn't get it.
That wasn't us.
Right, yeah. Right, not them, the neighbors us, that you were referring to.
Okay, you're right, yeah. Okay.
We actually own part of that road, I rededicated it back to the city. They asked us to do that as part of that plan. And I will also just say this, that when we bought the property, it had the barn and that house, which is kind of like a cabin. A lot of people have been in it. It doesn't have AC or heating, so it's like, you know, it's very tough to
rusty.
Live in. So we almost need to build a house to get some AC and stuff for my kids to stay there.
Okay. And then another question would be, what happens, this is the first one, we got another one coming next month, right, you were saying. What happens now with this septic tank, let's say it's 1,200 gallons, so you got to put in a total different septic tank, or do you connect both of those?
No, you're not allowed to connect them. So.
Oh, you're not allowed, yeah, okay. So this is my learning lesson.
Yeah, here, so this is the existing house, and now it's septic tanks down here. A septic tank's about here, so I've got to abandon that, and then I'm going to come out here and create a new septic tank and leach field for this accessory structure, and then when I build a new house, we'll put another septic tank and a leach field down here, and they all have to be within, you know, it's got to be 10 foot off the property, 8 foot away from the building, 8 foot away from any structure, and then it's got to comply with the
the size of the fixture units in the house.
Okay, good. So that is code, separate tanks for each one. Okay, good to know. That's good to know.
And he asked me that, and I'm sorry I didn't get back to you.
Oh, that's okay.
When he goes to building permits, the health district that does septic, they get a copy of these plans when they submit for a waiver. And so they will have reviewed that. And have they reached out to you already?
No.
Oh, they probably will at some point. If they don't during this process, when he goes through the building permit process, they'll have to sign off on that.
Right. Yeah, I was just curious about that. And yours is probably going to be the only one where you're going from a smaller residence to a bigger one. Everybody's probably going bigger to buildings up that's smaller.
Doing a 1,500 foot one, yeah.
And by the way, I love what you designed there.
Oh, thank you.
It's very nice, very nice.
Did you have a comment?
Yes, this is Andrew McClure, and I live on 1470 Sandstone Drive. Weren't you talking about having some places for rent or something?
No, we're not going to rent them out.
Okay.
Strictly just
they
for
could. Rent. They could, but I think in their case, they're not choosing to do that. That's why the ordinance was put in place in the first place for more affordable housing. They don't have to rent it, but that's an option.
And it's like, it's like a living grand
house. When you build an accessory structure, the code allows you to rent one of them. That's not their plans or their intention, but to your point, a future owner could have different intentions and they could rent it.
I was under the impression that in Calico Bay some people couldn't rent their...
Well, you can rent. Yes, you can. You could.
There's a lot of people that rent in Calico Basin, like the lady on the
with all the horses.
With the TV, she rents every one of her rooms.
That's a whole other issue. But no, you can do home rentals, just not short term rentals.
Wait, you can't do.
You can't do Airbnb. And if somebody is interested in it, so I would let them know.
Short-term rentals,
like Airbnb, they're not allowed to do that. But
anything
you can rent
less
your
than
home.
30 days.
You know, there's no restriction on renting a home if it's an actual rental when someone moves in and lives there, not just renting it for a party on the weekend.
So I'm just asking, too, kind of more of the drawing and stuff. Are they making you do a breezeway, or is that an accessory apartment allowed not the breezeway to take place?
You would have to... No, accessory apartment, you don't require the breezeway.
It has to be separated by 10 feet.
10
feet.
Mm-hmm.
When you have two... Okay. But previously, they wanted me to do an addition.
Yes.
In which case, I did need a breezeway, because I wanted to have a breezeway that was covered. And then I could have just called it an addition to the existing structure.
Right.
But then they wouldn't, in order to do that, then I have to fire sprinkle that house and the new house. And the existing house.
Right. You have to bring the old house up.
Yeah, so which is really tricky.
Right.
And so this, you know, this is much more convenient because we want to have a new house with the contemporary and modern.
Right.
And then have our old house as kind of a cutesy little guest house for our friends and, you know, family.
And also I should point out that an accessory apartment like they're doing is a conditional use, which means if they met all the conditions, we wouldn't even be seeing them. They just have to go get building permits. In this case, because the house is existing and it's a little bit bigger than the minimum or maximum size, that's the only reason they're here. They're only asking for that one waiver for that, for the size
for
of the existing house.
436
yeah.
square feet.
Yeah.
I know this isn't a code thing, but I know people in Calico aren't very excited about swimming pools.
We've heard that.
Yeah. You know, and what someone has come to me with that, and they went before the board and they made a commitment. Well, their plan is to go before the board and make a commitment that the water for the swimming pool would always be brought in.
100%.
So
we agree with that.
So you may want to put that condition on, and I think that it would help you a lot with having a pool out there. People know that you're going to be not tapping into the
well.
Yeah, the well. So
that's fine.
Yeah, in Calico, everybody has their own private wells, but I'm going to bring the water just from
the swimming pool.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that if you put that on there and volunteer to do that, you will save yourself a lot of bad blood, so to speak.
I don't know if we can condition that on this.
I'm not, and you know what? The other people who approached it didn't ask for it to be conditioned.
Okay.
They were saying, we want people to know
Okay.
That's what we're planning on doing.
Put it out
and
there.
And we want to put it into the public record that all of our pool water is going to come from Truckton Water. And when you have that in the record, you'll say, you can always fall back and say that I never intended to take it out of the water table.
Does that mean they put a deed restriction on their property association?
No, deed restriction, I don't think they were going to go that far. I think they were making a personal commitment. Mm-hmm. You could put a deed restriction. I think the problem on the deed restriction is that, and I've done this before on a deed, and it was about chopping down trees, but as that ages, right, no one knows and who's enforcing it. Right.
The circumstances could change too, that maybe we come out of the drought and then it wouldn't be necessary anymore.
So in the case of that one that had the deed restriction on chopping down the trees, three sales later, no one remembered it.
Right.
The person chopped down the trees and now who's enforcing it? So it's kind of hard to enforce. It really is a matter of that person's integrity and them following through on
it,
right?
So it's a gentleman's agreement, basically.
It's a gentleman's agreement, but certainly if you're putting it into a public record, it's going to hold you to your integrity, right? So I would say that we would put that in right now, that you're making that commitment.
We're going to fill the pool because you're going to get a little bit of evaporation.
Yeah,
so.
And you're going to, right, you're not going to run it every time.
So we can't guarantee that we won't use anything from the well, but mm-hmm. initially when we put, 30,000 gallons or whatever mm-hmm. it is, that's going to come from us. We're going to outsource that,
okay.
And it's not going to come from the well.
All right, I would think that it
but
would
I
be
also
good
too,
to
like, it. All of our plans, I think, are super balanced in nature. I think it will be one of the most beautiful properties in Calico Bay. I do think
it
that.
Looks
I mean,
utterly
we've
gorgeous.
We've gone through several iterations because we've lived there now for 4 years. So I've been sweating my ass off for 4 years to not see there. But originally we were going to do a two-story, and then we were going to do a bigger. And I really, Evan told me you should just chill and just live there for a year and learn how the wind works and learn how everything. Like, get to know your neighbors, see what sets all so many different things. And we've changed the plan so many different times, but just and really just made it really super. I really feel like balance the nature with the same types of materials and all sorts of stuff. And then I will say, the house that we bought that was built by John and Mary Collins 40 years ago by hand. That they lived and they worked in the lumber yard, so it's not like it. I always tell people we live in a cabin next to a river, but there's just no river. And so people
that's awesome.
Are like, oh my god, we are. Now my sons are 11 and 15. My 15-year-old is 6'2", and he's like, Mom, my feet are this far off of my bed. I have to get a bigger room. It's so teeny, the little room that they're in, when you come by, our arms might be out the window or whatever. It's so cute, and it has that barn look and whatever. It just, our house looks like a barn, but it's not a barn, but it's cute. And so that's so interestingly enough, most people have their house and then they just want to build their casita. But our house is a casita, and we just need to build a house. And so basically, instead of tearing down the casita, since it's 1,900 square feet, instead of being 1,500, we just need to make it okay to just keep that and not tear it down, because it is kind of, it's like a little cute, iconic little Calico Basin treasure that, we would like to keep there, because it's cutesy.
Then those added feet are going to be on the house.
Yes. So our, believe me, we could tear this down and build. We could build a 10,000 square foot house. So we've got 1,900 square feet, and then we're going to add 3,000. So total, we'll have 5,000 square feet. We're only really going to live in. We could tear the whole thing down, and we could build a 10,000 square foot house. But I just don't think that's the right approach. Certainly it's overkill for our family. We don't need that. So normally that's what people do. They would ask to build this little structure. Had we already had our main house, and we built that structure, we would be asking you to build a 1,900 square foot structure instead of a 1,500 square foot structure.
So there's the extra 400 feet they're talking about
is
already exists on their existing home, but they're asking for it to be classified as an accessory apartment, even though it's 400 square feet bigger than an accessory apartment would normally be.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's the only thing at issue. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for them to keep that 400 feet? And, you know, it certainly makes sense on every level. And then the new house is a separate set of permits and et cetera.
So in this case, we already have our casita. We just need to build the house. So it's the opposite for most people. I don't know whether that... Was that too, like, a blonde answer? I don't know, but it's the opposite. We're doing the opposite, kind of.
Are there any other questions?
No, I was trying to figure out, because there's several buildings down there, we went
right
to look to see what, and especially since it was not on the diagram, like
right
where it should have been located, where it was and what it was going to be. And
yeah,
I've been in the home many times because I knew Mary and close to, so I know,
yeah,
know the house and everything.
And it's so cute. I just still want to take it down.
I'm just not crazy about putting a condition on having a...
Well, no, there's not going to be a condition.
Okay.
There's just,
okay,
there's not a condition. It's just a verbal statement.
Okay.
Right,
yeah,
that's going to go
right
in the minutes.
Yeah. On the pool.
Yeah.
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 I would like to know that I would be bringing in water from a water truck, from, you know, buying water to bring it in. I'm going to be using
that
water for
the... How bad is the water?
Our
situation
really
at
nice
point?
Good.
But
I still wouldn't use it anyway. Just
too hard.
Well, they have a real shortage. A lot of
those
wells go dry.
Prefer, and there are
yeah, most people's a lot of people's wells go dry.
Our neighbor has a pool. Our across the street neighbor and they fill up by truck too. I just think that that's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
It's different for Calico, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do for Blue Diamond because you guys are all on the same well, I think.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
It's the right thing to do for nature anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you, Christian.
Calico.
Is there any more comments on this? Anybody? Okay, do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
I approve.
Okay, I do too. So that's unanimous.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Good luck at the next meeting on the second, the Planning Commission, or the...
Yeah.
Yeah, you should. I think you're going to fly right through.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a public meeting, and now we will entertain comments by the general public, and this is a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction. No vote will be taken on any matter, so please step up if anyone has any other... Yes, Larry.
Larry Kleinsmith, Moon, Montana. A number of months ago, I came to the board in regards to the ditch, the drainage ditch that runs parallel to Minder Binder between, you pass it every day, you know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a crack developing
right
in it,
right,
and now it's getting filled in with dirt. Did we ever find out whether the county was to clean that out and do any repairs, or what that issue
no
was?
But I will find out.
Okay.
Minder
like
Binder.
Said, yeah, I apologize because I don't have a date on it, but it's been at least
no,
6 or 8 months ago. I think that Evan was here then. I mean,
yeah, I don't remember that.
Oh, that's
so
been, that's been a while.
Yeah, it's been,
that's
it's been a while. I'm not
around.
So,
okay,
it actually
like
is.
Said, it's starting to fill in. With,
yeah.
With
okay.
Steinberg building up above, he's had stuff that's washed down. There's growth starting
mm-hmm
to be in it, and I didn't want to start tearing stuff out and removing it if the county's going to do it.
Mm.
And
Minder
so
Binder, and it's like a drainage ditch?
It's a,
yeah,
yeah, it's a major flow. It drives, it runs all the way down from, Pauline's house.
Yeah,
from
Monterey.
Okay. Oh, okay,
all,
so it's
all
by
the way
your
down
house.
To past Kenny's.
Okay, I will go up, if we still have light when we're done, I'll drive up there and check it out right now.
Yeah, it's got a lot of deterioration.
Okay.
Not just that, it's got buckling, and it really doesn't move water the way it should anymore.
So that's fine.
Yeah, I'll go
up
and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Kathy.
Kathy
Kleinsmith, 9 Montana.
And this may be, maybe I hit this at just the wrong time, but I seem to remember that the trucks going up and down the Mine Hall Road to the Gypsum Resources,
that's right,
official term, that they had been running water trucks up and down.
Yes.
I have not noticed that lately, and the other day, again, it may have just been weather conditions, but a truck came down off of that, and I could hardly see for all of the dust.
Okay. I'll ask air quality to come out and check it out.
And I haven't, I mean, the desert is starting to look a little...
dry?
Well, a little dusty. I mean, it, you know, it just looks kind of dull, that whole area. But I haven't seen the water trucks like I did before. Is this just me hitting it at the wrong time, or is there an issue developing?
So, I don't know, but we'll have air quality come out.
I can touch on that a little bit. There are trucks still going up, because I leave the house at 5 in the morning, and that guy's going. The water district, and I don't know if you would touch on this or not, they've asked the county not to pull water on the west side, no, the south side of Blue Diamond, because the pumps weren't keeping up with all the construction, which was causing the fire alarms at the school to go off. So they've asked a few people to kind of relocate their meters and get things till they can, I don't know if the in a future fix.
Drawing down a wall of fire, they have to go down even further now.
Yeah, so their rounds might be taking longer. They may have not gotten the new fire hydrant location yet. This happened about 3 or 4 months to me, where they said no more pulling water over here, go over here. So I think that's something else.
Just not pulling water?
No, they're still pulling water. The problem is where that guy pulls water from is now El Capitan, I think, or Cimarron, and that road is under construction, so I don't know if he can get to it right now.
It's like almost all the way down to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are some water pressure issues, I guess, with the water district up in that area. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, that answers my question.
Yeah.
So Evans Lawson, 2035 Millennium Road. I just want to say that it's pretty awesome that the county patched up most of the edges of Calico Basin Road where they were roading out. They almost got it all. I'm certainly grateful for the parts that they did fix. They got the worst of it for sure. So anybody that had anything to do with that, Megan, that might be you on some level, and Dwight, I guess that was you. You know, good job on that.
I was out there driving the grader.
I was gone and I came back and noticed that it looks like we got like a brand new paint on half of the road, and it looks a little too spanking new for my in character with me in the neighborhood, you know. So just keep that in mind. So anyway.
Thank you. Any other comments about this area in our neighborhood? Yes, Dwight.
I was just for fun. Dwight Hill, 1845 Calico Drive. For our law enforcement types, our folks running their Lamborghinis and other things up and down Sandstone are still a problem periodically. I think it's more noise than actual speed. Because the way those cars are designed, because I mean, the guy sounds like he's driving on a racetrack, and you look over, it looks like he's doing 25. I'm not sure about this, but I don't know if there's any way to do it. I have seen increased patrols out there, quite a few, and so we appreciate that.
Today?
I don't know if it's only today or not.
Yeah, we're working today out here. I know that.
Yeah. But
she didn't get a ticket or anything. That's all right.
We do still have a problem, and I don't know how to address that.
A lot of those exotic cars.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff Dean with Metro. A lot of those exotic cars are rentals.
Yeah.
And notice a lot of them have out-of-state plates. It's a cumbersome situation. It is something that we're working with the DMV compliance section to, at the very minimum, put the pressure on them to make sure that they have appropriate licensing and registration for their vehicles, because a lot of them are using out-of-state plates. When we put the pressure on them, it kind of makes them go away, but I mean, the bottom line is they're not necessarily breaking any laws unless they're in a violation of traffic code, but it is a kind of something that we always monitor.
we do have a project going on right now with DMV compliance, just making sure that those companies are at least in compliance with their,
That's for the rental companies, making sure they're compliant.
Yeah, some people in town just own Lamborghinis, you know, those guys, most are speeds, it's really, unfortunately, nothing that we can do about that kind of stuff. But most of them are rentals. It is an issue that we are frequently and constantly monitoring. Not that I will put the word out to the guys and let them know. They're not already aware.
Anyone else? Okay, seeing and hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.
Well, you only come when there's controversial
stuff. I'm going to bring up a couple of things.
No, meeting's done.
BLM has been having the thing.